everyone. This is Diana Catherine Klopas. Today we have A.J. Norris with us. She'll be reading an excerpt from her romance novel, Healing Hearts. This is a wonderful read, especially for romance lovers who really enjoy in-depth characters and a lot of layers to the story. This one definitely has it for you. So A.J., are you going to read chapter one today?
Yes.
Take it away.
Okay. Chapter one. Taking his usual seat in the small auditorium five rows back, Caden's thoughts drifted as he waited for Astronomy 101 class to start. Rachel, his ex-fiancée's, words poked at him from the inside. Days before classes began back in August, she told him she didn't want to move in together and wanted to see other people in addition to him. He threatened to see other women, too, but hadn't made good on his threat. He wasn't the type to stray, even if she was. He'd asked himself many times over why he was continuing the relationship, for it had become something he was ashamed of. The relationship was bordering on booty call status. Oh, who was he kidding? It was in that sordid category. The idea of seeing her this Thursday depressed the hell out of him. And it had occurred to him that it might be a better idea just to blow her off. He sighed deeply at the realization that it was time for him to move on with his life without Rachel. Hinges that could stand a little grease carried his eyes to the door. Materializing in the doorway was a seraph whose name he'd yet to learn. Her beauty brightened his darkest self. Now she just made him feel polluted. He shivered. The woman climbed the steps of the lecture theater to take her regular seat, two tiers behind him. As he passed by, he noticed her normal, apathetic expression had become despondent again after a two-week hiatus. What was this all about? He'd seen her smile once before when the professor had made a bad joke during one of his lectures. Caden had dared a look over his shoulder when he'd heard a soft giggle escape her mouth. She quietly retrieved her spiral notebook from her backpack and began tapping her pen on the cover. He used the sound as a means to justify turning around. He gaped at her, and she blushed when she caught him staring. He realized he hadn't even been smiling. He snorted at himself out of embarrassment and looked away before she did. He spent the next 2.5 hours hoping for an excuse to turn around and look at her. But she never made another sound. At the end of class, he got up and looked in her direction. She seemed to be purposefully ignoring him. He watched her make a mad dash for the door. Had he offended her? Of course, you idiot. She all but ran out of there. He tried to catch up with her outside the building, but when he exited, she was nowhere in sight. Evan waited for Anna inside her apartment. He'd run into her roommate, Lucy, after his last class and followed her home. Lucy agreed to let him stick around until Anna returned from her astronomy class. His thoughts wandered while listening to her roommate prattle on and on about who knows what. He'd stopped listening after the first 10 minutes, but continued to nod his head politely. Evan had lived down the hall from Anna when she had been her sophomore. They'd been drinking buddies. He'd thought she was pretty and easygoing, nice to talk to. The apartment door opened, and he got up from the couch. She huffed out a tense breath as she locked the door behind her. Something was wrong. Was it her boyfriend? Lucy had commented earlier that Anna's man was an ass. Anna swallowed hard. "Hi," she said. Evan waved from over by the sofa. "How have you been?" As a psych major, he read her body language as anxious. He liked her, and he didn't like the way she kept taking deep breaths. She'd been a good friend, and he'd wanted to be the same. She would listen to him talk about his woman troubles and always had clear insights for him. She determined that he liked to save damsels in distress and, therefore, picked girlfriends accordingly. It was a cycle he was actively trying to break based on her analysis. They spoke for a few minutes, but from the way she was trying to edge him closer to the door and mentioned her boyfriend several times, he knew it was his cue to take off. He realized at that moment he'd always had a crush on her, but was too chicken to do anything about it. He was 2 years older and was afraid to get involved with her. Now he cursed himself for the two missed opportunities with her he had had not capitalized on when he'd had the chance. They even shared his bed together one night after drinking. But he had been too much of a wuss to say anything to her at the time, using the lame excuse that she was too young for him. "I think I'm going to take off. It was nice seeing you," he said, not wanting to embarrass himself further. "Are you sure you have to leave?" she panted anxiously. "Yeah, I think I better go," she nodded and walked him to the door. He was about to jog down the stairs, but something in her eyes stopped him. "Are you all right?" She shook her head once and tried to blink tears from her eyes. So much for getting out of there, not that he wanted to leave now. "What's wrong?" He reached out, embracing her as she shuddered. He walked her back inside and sat down on the couch with his arm wrapped around her shoulder. She cried for a few minutes before she answered him. She took a deep breath and sighed with a soft feminine hum. "I need to ask you something. I need to know if I'm in the wrong." He nodded. "Okay." She sighed. "My boyfriend is," she started. "Well, he thinks you should what?" He tried to read her face, searching for any clue to what she was trying to tell him. "I don't know. He wants me to wait for him to call every night when he's at work." His eyes widened. "Every night? You don't live together. He can't expect every night. And if I'm not home, he gets mad at me." She kept her eyes focused on the floor in front of her. "Oh, man. What does he do when he gets mad?" Anna shrugged her shoulders, and he wondered what that meant. "Nothing. Just makes me feel guilty." "Well, like, what does he say or do?" "It's not what he says. It's how he says it." Evan shook his head. He wasn't buying it. There had to be something more to this story. "What are you not telling me? And what do you think you're in the wrong about?" "Nothing. She blew out of breath. "He just likes us to spend a lot of time together, and he worries when he's at work." "Worries about what?" He splayed his hands out. Her head recoiled. Evan realized his reaction came off more harshly than he'd wanted and softened his posture. "Anna, I think you need to be honest with yourself. Does he make you happy most of the time or miserable?" "He really is a good guy. He just worries about me cheating on him, that's all." "But why? I know you, and I know you wouldn't do that. You're a good person." "I know, but what does he do to make you feel guilty?" "Just yells, says mean things." "Yeah, okay, like what?" "Please don't say nothing." "That I don't have any common sense. All I care about is myself. I don't ever consider his feelings. But I do. I do all the time. Why doesn't he see that? How can I make him see how much I love him?" "Oh, I'm sure he knows." The relieved look in her eyes made him feel sorry for her and want to kick the dude's ass. "Anna?" All he could do was blink at her for a few minutes. Anna spoke, interrupting his thoughts. "I'm so pathetic, I know." "No, you're not pathetic. I just don't get why you're with this guy. He sounds like a pathetic loser." "Is that your professional opinion?" "Yes, you don't deserve to be treated like that. No one does." She started to interrupt him. He held his hand up. "What you described to me is verbal abuse. There's absolutely no excuse for his behavior. None. There's nothing you could say to me that would make me think otherwise. You asked me if you were in the wrong, and my answer is no way. Promise me you will dump him."
Thank you. So, tell us a little bit about the idea, where you got the idea for this story. One of the really big reasons why we were interested in publishing it was because it is a story about how a woman moves past an abusive relationship and how she does finally heal in the end, and we thought that was an important message to get out there. So where did you get the idea for this story?
Just a little bit of personal experience and a little bit of just other people's experience that people have told me about, you know, this abusive guy, and she finally realizes that she has to get away from him because it's not good for her. And she actually is able to, but it was quite a struggle for her, and she was still scarred from that experience too. So just
as many women in real life are, I mean, getting out of an abusive relationship is very difficult. And even in an abusive relationship that's more psychological abuse than physical abuse, sometimes that's even harder.
I think it's almost worse. So,
Right. So Do you have plans for a sequel to this book, or are you planning on writing more about these characters in the future?
Well, you know, I thought about doing, actually I got it like 3,000 words into like a novella kind of follow-up, just to see, you know, not so much on the suspense side, but more of just what happened after, how they still, it's a process to keep healing, because obviously the hero in the story has got his own issues as well, so from his past, but how they just continue, it's just a struggle.
Sure.
You know, so.
So is that something you think you're going to pursue?
Hi, May. I don't know. I'm doing a lot of other things right now, so. it's there. It's on the back burner, but I'm not sure when I'll get to it, so.
Okay. I understand you have another book coming out shortly, a paranormal romance. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, that is about angels and demons. It's basically about the afterlife. But it's not a religious-based afterlife. This is just the worlds that I made up myself. You know, it's not, there's no, you know, religion, basically. It's entertainment.
Sure, yeah.
So, and it's about this girl who doesn't really want to live anymore. She just, a series of events led her to just dislike herself, and she does wind up getting murdered, saving a young child's life, and then she was, because of this, she was granted the ability to redeem herself, so she meets an angel who helps her, or he tries to help her anyway, get, you know, make better choices.
Okay.
I guess it's more about.
And what's the title of that book, so we can look for it?
Her Black Wings.
Excellent.
It comes out July 12th.
Okay. And what is it that draws you to writing romance as opposed to other genres? What is it about the romance genre that
attracts you? I don't know, I just love it.
Why? What is it about that genre that draws to you?
I don't know, it's just interesting to me, the personal relationships, I guess. So, I don't know, I just like the emotion.
Okay. So how do you budget writing time and family time? Do you find that a conflict? Do you find that a challenge?
Oh, it's a conflict.
do you find it a challenge to set aside writing time? And how does your family handle that?
They're used to it. You know, because I have a full-time job, so when I get home, I plug into the computer. So my husband's really supportive. So, you know, I have a 10-year-old son, but he understands. Like, he'll come and bug me. You know, Mom. Just a minute, let me finish my thought first. then I'll answer your question. So, but they're pretty good about it. So.
Excellent.
Lucky like that.
Any other questions from our audience today? No? Okay. Thank you so much, AJ, for coming out and reading. And again, that's Healing Hearts. And all of the books that we've talked about today are available on the Grey Wolf Publishing website and also on Amazon and for Kindle. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.